Welcome to the Dental Business Guide podcast. From money to marketing to management, this podcast will help you run a better dental business.
Hello, everyone. Now, today I'm with Dan Fearon, one of our expert finance guys, and we're going to be talking about raising funds for pharmacies. So, Dan, how are you doing today? You all right?
Yeah, very good, Aaron.
Okay. Now, just give me a little bit of background about your knowledge and experience of pharmacy finance. What have you been doing over the many years? I think you've got quite a lot of experience, haven't you?
Yeah, a lot more than I look. I worked for RBS for 20 years, and within that time, 20,
bloody
20
hell,
I know, I know.
It's a long period, isn't it? So, okay, you don't look it, actually.
that's our sleep in a coffin and on a view lay all the time. Yeah. But yeah, 20 years experience in the bank, and within the last part of my banking career, probably the last 10 or so years, I worked in the healthcare team, which, you know, focused on dentists, pharmacists, GPs and vets. So just healthcare that we dealt with.
Okay, all right, cool. So in this current environment, so let's crack on. What are general banks' appetite like for the pharmacy sector?
Yeah, I think all banks have their own appetites, but generally the banks look at this as a green sector. So that means it's a sector that they're happy to lend to and they've got a positive risk appetite for.
Okay, and why is that though?
Yeah, the reason because of that, because, you know, as everyone probably has noticed, is that pharmacies traded all through the lockdowns, so they wasn't at any point closed, which is a certain positive.
They're very busy, weren't they?
Very busy. And, you know, within that period as well, what they've added is additional community services as well, because obviously now they're doing the jabs and people were struggling to go and see their GP. So their next port of call was going to the pharmacy to not ask for advice, but, you know, to get, you know, to talk about what sort of medication they could take because they couldn't have a face-to-face appointment with their GP practice. Another positive that pharmacies do have is they're a closed market. You can't just decide one day that you're going to open a pharmacy next door to another pharmacy. So that definitely sort of protects you and protects your business, where some of the other sectors that we look at, you know, you could be going along quite nicely and then a competitor opens next door, which could have a real impact on your business.
Okay, so how are the goodwill values kind of maintained? Are they maintained during the pandemic? What's the situation?
Yeah, the goodwill values have maintained, maybe even gone up slightly, because again, that people have seen that strength and they've traded well all through the lockdown, and you're probably seeing when the sets of accounts start coming out that they've probably generated more income through this period than a lot of other businesses.
Okay, so. So in terms of demand, is there a strong demand for pharmacies at the moment from people out there, or pharmacists out there?
Yeah, what you've found in over the last few years is the locums who work in the pharmacies have had a bit of an impact on their salaries. Mm. So what you're finding now is, you know, instead of them working for a pharmacist, what they want to do is open their own pharmacy. Yeah. So what that has is driven demand, so you've got a lot more people looking to buy a pharmacy in the market, which has helped increase or keep the prices at a high level.
Okay. So now, for anyone out there, any budding entrepreneur pharmacist out there, if they want to buy a pharmacist, what pharmacy? What should they be looking for? And what should be looking at?
Yeah, have a look at the local competition to see what pharmacies are already in the local area. That's very important. If there's a pharmacy that you like the look of, have a look, you know, what prescriptions are they doing? You know, the GP practices are close by. How many patients do they've got? If you've got a pharmacy that's maybe, you know, only doing sort of 5,000 scripts, but close by you've got GP practices with patient bases of, you know, 10,000 each, you know, and there's a few of them, then that certainly shows there's room to grow, because there's scripts there that you know, you can take on, which would certainly improve your business.
Okay. And I'm assuming when you're buying a pharmacy, all of this information is available, like the vendor would be happy to provide the details of prescriptions issued. They will do that. Yeah,
they'll detail them through for you. You've got the FP34 forms, So that shows how many prescriptions they're doing. Also, with what they can show you as well, what over-the-counter sales they do, which is very important because, you know, as everyone knows, when you go into a pharmacy, yes, getting prescriptions are one thing, but obviously they sell a lot of other items as well. So that's quite important for pharmacies as well, because when someone's in, if you can maximise, you know, your sales from that person.
Is there a ratio or some type of proportion of total income that people that's a metric to say that's a good proportion of over-the-counter sales? Is there anything like that considered or not?
Yeah, probably not a ratio to have in there, but I suppose if you was doing sort of 10 to 20% over the counter sales, that would be seen as a positive.
Positive, is it? Okay, all right. And so then now, if I assume I want to buy a pharmacy today, I'm a pharmacist. Okay, what kind of loan to values can I kind of achieve out that are out there?
Yeah, it again, it's one of the things. It values per lender because each lender has their separate credit policies, but you're probably looking at anything from sort of 70 to 90% loan to value. It depends on the strength of the business. Can that business afford the loan? But yeah, it does vary. But the important thing that we do is we know all the different lenders in the market. So we would go to the market, the healthcare market, to get the best possible deal for you within that market.
Okay, and so. Banks, obviously, as you said, various lenders out there. If I want to raise finance for a pharmacy, what kind of information will they want to see?
Yeah. So what they want to understand, they want to understand the business, first of all. So you most valuers would provide you, or most sales would provide you with the sales particulars. Yep. So you have the sales particulars on the business. You have the last 3 years' accounts on the business.
Yeah.
And then the FP34 form. So that's showing what scripts they're doing over sort of a 6 to 12 month period. They should be able to give you that information. So that's the business.
Okay.
And then what they'll need to do is understand what you do personally. So they'll need to understand, you know, your income and expenditure. So they'll need a full vid for that. Your bank statements to demonstrate, you know, you've got, you know, a good income coming in and you're managing your personal finances. And, you know, they might also want to see some sort of tax returns as well, just to see again what sort of income you've been generating over the last few years.
Okay. All right. That's useful to know. Okay. So assuming I found a pharmacy or someone finds a pharmacy that they want to purchase, what's the kind of time frame to get this all done?
Yeah, in terms of time frame, you're probably looking at about a 3 month period. There are a few things that could impact you in terms of doing that. A lot of pharmacies will be leasehold, and you know, third party landlords can delay things because obviously they're not involved in the transaction, so that could be a bit of a delay. You need to transfer the contract from NHS and from Pharmacy England over to yourself. So obviously you need that as well. So there are a few things that delay, but around 3 months would be a good time scale, really.
Okay. And then other costs that are out there, the usual costs, such as what, though, just to clarify?
Yeah. So the cost that you would expect, really. So a lender would want you to value the pharmacy so they can understand what the goodwill value is. You'll have some solicitor's costs.
Yeah.
It's important what we say in terms of most of these transactions to have a specialist involved, someone who understands the sector.
Yeah.
You're also going to have the lender's cost in terms of the administration fee.
Yeah.
Within that. Sorry, I think there's some other costs.
Okay. All right. So there's a whole range of things that come to fruition here, really. They'll need to have a cash flow forecast. Me being an accountant, I imagine they'll need that type of thing done as well to aid the banks to lend, I'm assuming.
Yeah, because what they need to understand, really, one point I sort of forgot to mention on the cost, what you have in terms of the when you're purchasing a pharmacy is that on completion, what you'll have is stock as well. So you may need to have some cash set aside for stock. And also the way the income works for a pharmacy is that you'll have a time scale of sort of 2 to 3 months where you're doing the prescriptions and the income hasn't come in yet. So you're going to have some cash flow shortfall there. So that's some other cost that you would need to take into account. But yeah, when you purchase a business, lenders will probably want you to have a business plan and some cash flow projection on what the business will look like once you take over.
Okay. All right. Now that's useful to know. And then pharmacies, obviously you're lending on the prospect of someone buying a practice, but where else would a pharmacist need funding for?
Yeah. So pharmacists would need, obviously, the acquisition. Yeah. So that would be one point that they would need funding for. Sometimes within pharmacies, you might have a partnership and they might want to buy out another business partner. So that's another element they would look at. Mm. The cash flow lend. So like I was saying about the stock and the short-term cash flow problem that you might have once you take over a pharmacy, that there are other elements that you could get funding for. Some pharmacies also use invoice discounting as well. Because obviously you have a bit of a time lag when that income comes in, and a lot of cash flow lenders or invoice discounters are happy to lend money on that based on that you've got a guaranteed income coming in every 3 months.
Okay, so now that's really helpful. So then how can Samara and yourself help potential acquirers out there? How can we help people?
Yeah, like I said at the start, really, is with, you know, myself, I've got 20 years experience in banking and, you know, over 10 years experience in the healthcare market. So what we would do really would gather all this information that banks would need. Yeah. You know, and what we do, instead of, you know, yourself, you could just walk into a bank, you know, speak to the person who's behind the desk and say, I need to lend this for a pharmacy. Mm. They may not be able to help you. What we do is deal with the right people. So what we make sure is that all the information, once it's gathered, it goes through to the correct healthcare lenders to make sure that you get the best rates out there in the market and the best terms out there in the market. So we use our experience within the market to make sure that we'll get you the correct answer in terms of, yes, they're happy to lend, and also the best terms they've got in the market.
Okay, brilliant. So, right. And so in summary, we can certainly help people with acquiring a pharmacy. If they need any funding or any kind of advice around this whole area, I think Dan, Nigel and others in the team are more than well placed to support such things. Okay. So yeah, Dan, thank you so much today. It's been really helpful. We will definitely be helping pharmacists, I think, over the next few months. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening in to the Dental Business Guide podcast. We welcome your feedback, and if you're enjoying it, please let your friends know too. Until the next time on the Dental Business Guide podcast.